Hello and welcome to the second episode of Macro Minutes, where we cover some important topics regarding governance and policies. If you missed out on the first one, you can go check it out on our website. We spoke about GST compensation and what would happen to Indo-US trade ties post the US election. I'm your host Kirtana Tiwari, and I have Money Control's assistant editor Arup Roy Chowdhury with me to discuss the progress on government disinvestment plans and what else can be done in regards to a stimulus package. Yes. Welcome to the show, Arup.
Hi, Kirtana. Thank you for hosting this podcast. Winter is here. Winter is almost upon us, and the expectations within the government and elsewhere is that the COVID caseload because of winter will continue to rise. We have seen that across the world that cases are rising and other countries are even thinking of further lockdowns. We do not know whether that will happen in India or not, but the next few months will be will have to be watched very, very carefully.
Right. Earlier this year in the budget 2020, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman announced that the government plans to sell a part of its stake in LIC via public offering. Has there been any progress in that?
So it is interesting that when the Honorable Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman presented her union budget on February 1st, that was before COVID had really hit us. Life Insurance Corporation was the only company she mentioned by name. She had said the government now proposes to sell a part of its holding in LIC.
Okay.
Now that we are nearly in November, October is about to end, it is now very clear that the IPO of Life Insurance Corporation will not happen this year. It will not happen before March 31st. Simply because of the complexity in carrying out the public offering of a company the size of LIC. Right? It is not just a divestment. It is a policy decision on its own.
Right.
Usually what happens with IPOs is that the government appoints the department in the finance ministry, the Department of Investment and Public Asset Management, which looks after privatization and IPOs and offer for sales and other parts of divestment of public sector companies. That department would usually appoint a legal advisor and a book running lead manager for any IPO. The book running lead manager would value the company and help take it public, and the legal advisor will obviously guide on the legal aspects of an IPO. This time, they did something else. They appointed a pre-IPO advisor. SBI Capital Markets and Deloitte were chosen as pre-IPO advisor, thus acknowledging that this is a very different process. They are yet to advise, they are yet to appoint book running lead managers and legal advisors. An embedded value of the company has to be decided. LIC has to cut its stake in a number of other listed companies. It has to tweak its balance sheets to comply with regulations. And the LIC Act has to be amended in Parliament.
Okay.
And none of that is going to happen before March 31st. Some of that may happen, but this entire process is going to take a long, long time. The government eventually plans to offload 25% of its stake in Life Insurance Corporation through multiple tranches. It will obviously start with 10% and then take it further. Now, the biggest problem here is that LIC has stake in companies throughout the spectrum, across sectors, across cap ranges. The Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India insists that all insurance companies are required to cap the stake at 15% in other listed companies. However, LIC has exceeded 15% in entities like ITC, where it has been a legacy investor. As of June this year, it holds a 16.3% stake in ITC, 23.7% stake in TCM, 20.9% stake in Standard Batteries, 17.8% stake in Modela Woolens, and so many other companies. It has to reduce its stake in them. Now, after the appointment of book running lead managers, they will have to do something called an embedded valuation. An embedded valuation will then decide the actual valuation of the company. The embedded valuation of LIC would have to be disclosed publicly before they reach a valuation for the entire company. Because a valuation is calculated as a multiple of the embedded valuation. The embedded valuation represents the market value of LIC, attributable shareholders. It also includes the present value of the company's future expected profits from its existing business portfolio. And also there will be the physical assets, the land, the buildings and everything. So that is going to be a long process. And the LIC's property itself runs into several thousand crores. just getting a hold, just getting a valuation of these properties is going to take a very long time, right? So this is another point which needs to be looked at. There are also legal changes required, because LIC is not governed by the Companies Act so much so as it's governed by the LIC Act, right? So the LIC Act will have to be amended,
right?
So there's a lot of, and this is likely to happen in the winter session. So a lot of these changes will be required. And in fact, when the target was announced, this is before COVID, when the target divestment target for this year was announced, it was the highest ever target, which was put at 2.1 lakh crore. Out of that 2.1 lakh crore, 90,000 crore was expected to come from the IPO of LIC and the dump and the complete selling of government stake in IDBI Bank. Now, IDBI Bank stake will not be much. Most of that 90,000 crore will come from LIC. And yeah, because of that and many of the reasons, the government will nowhere be close to this year's divestment target of 2.1 lakh crore. The thing is, had COVID not been there, government would have gone on ahead. But because COVID took up the first half of this government's financial year, and not much divestment could take place, like, at all, right?
What has been the progress of privatization under this government, Aru?
So, privatization was the basis on which the government kept such a huge target for itself, right? Now, we have to remember, while government has to sold stake in big companies in the past, I'm talking about the Narendra Modi government, it has not really done what you would call proper privatization, true blue privatization. In fact, the last round of privatization happened under the Vajpayee government, right? When the government sold Modern Foods, when it sold VSNL, when it sold Hindustan, it's most of its stake in Hindustan Zinc and Balco and other companies. And UPA government after that had, there was some divestment, but there was not really privatization. We have to remember, we have to go back to when Prime Minister Narendra Modi came to power. He made it clear that the government has no business being in business in certain sectors. Now, it is understood that there are important sectors like railways, oil and gas, defense, and others where the government will always need to have its presence. But the thinking in this government always has been that taxpayer money cannot be used to fund things like airlines or hotels. So that's one part of it. And that has not happened. The government has slowly, over the past 6 years, the Narendra Modi government has built up sort of a privatization policy. There's another privatization policy which is coming up. We will talk about that in a while. And it has sold companies, but those have been mostly PSUs to PSUs.
Right.
Government did sell its stake in Hindustan Petroleum to ONGC, and that was close to 37,000 crore. That deal. But that was a PSU to PSU deal. And in that year, it helped the government reach a divestment proceeds of 1 lakh crore rupees. The target for that year, that was 17-18, was 72,500 crore. Partly on back of this deal, the government managed to reach 1 lakh crore. And the next year, government also merged REC and PFC. That also helped it exceed its divestment target for that year. That was 2018-19. And there were a lot of other PSU to smaller PSU to PSU deals. But privatization has not really happened. Now, the four top candidates before the pandemic, the top candidates for privatization were Air India, Bharat Petroleum, Container Corporation, and Shipping Corp, right? And this was before the pandemic. This has been happening since last year. For a number of reasons, this could not happen. This year, as we know, the aviation industry is one of the most worst hit industries because of the pandemic. Global aviation is nowhere near close to the levels it was in 2019. And there's always a problem of debt overhang with Air India. So the Air India deal is unlikely to happen till aviation market recovers a little. And that will not happen this year. Air India, which has been delayed for quite some time, is set to be delayed. Bharat Petroleum was actually a very good option. And, you know, before the pandemic, there were names of global companies like Saudi Aramco, Rosneft, Royal Dutch Shell and others who were keenly interested in acquiring Bharat Petroleum. Because you get access to Indian consumer market, right? You get access to Indian retail oil and gas space.
Right.
Even Reliance was said to have shown interest. Obviously, because of the pandemic, a lot of the processes got delayed. The EOI, the expression of interest, The last date of that was extended again and again. Now, the Department of Investment and Public Asset Management hopes that that will not be extended again. We recently had an exclusive interview with the secretary of the department, Tuhin Kanda Pandey. And he admitted that Bharat Petroleum still is a good prospect. Once things get better, Bharat Petroleum is a good prospect. And you know, there was a time last year when there were expectations that this deal on its own could fetch the government anything between 80,000 to 90,000 crores. That was last year. Now, obviously, the government would want to get the best value out of money for this. They're still trying for it. It remains to be seen whether it can happen before March 31st, 2021. Container Corporation is another company which will get a lot of interest because that gives a lot of players access to Indian Railways logistics space. There was an issue of lease land or the leasing of railway land because Container Corporation's warehouses and yards are in lands which have been leased to it by the Indian Railways. It is ultimately a PSU belonging to the Ministry of Railways. Now we are expecting that very soon the cabinet will take up that issue, whether there will be a leasing policy. And after that, the Container Corporation privatization should be quite a smooth effort. And even Shipping Corporation of India, although it's a much relatively smaller compared to the other companies, even that should go through. If the second half of the year, we see some investments being put in terms of foreign players willing to buy some of these companies. But all in all, we don't expect the target to be met. The target which was based on privatization, we don't expect that target to be met. In fact, we spoke to an analyst. We spoke to principal economist of ICRA Limited, Adhish Nair, on what her expectations from this year's divestment targets are. And this is what she said.
Given the current market conditions, we see a substantial likelihood of the disinvestment proceeds being significantly lower than the target. With just 5 months left in this fiscal, we think the disinvestment inflows are unlikely to cross 0.6 to 0.8 trillion in FY21.
Now, speaking about the Atmanirbhar Bharat package, the finance minister had, while announcing this, she also spoke about defining strategic sectors. Can you explain what that is?
So, the names of the companies which I mentioned earlier, they are part of the existing privatization policy. Now, we are expecting that there will be a new privatization policy. The finance minister spoke about this during her Atmanirbhar Bharat announcement, as you rightly pointed out. The government will define sectors as either strategic sectors or non-strategic sectors. Strategic sectors are the ones in which government will continue to have presence, but not more than 4 state-owned companies. And in the non-strategic sectors, the government will exit completely. The important thing to remember here is that there's no timeline. The government has not settled for the time that within the next 10 years or 20 years, we will exit from non-strategic sectors. It has kept that open. For various reasons, including perhaps political reasons, it has kept that option open. Now, the sectors which we know for sure will be part of the strategic sector list are banking, insurance, railways, oil and gas, defense, space, atomic energy. Right? So, in long term, there could be a possibility. We have to wait for the details of the strategic sector policy. The cabinet is also expected to take that up soon. So there could be a time in long term in the future where there could only be 4 large state-owned banks if banking is part of the strategic sector list. There are currently 12 state-owned banks after the last round of consolidation. In the last round of consolidation, Punjab National Bank acquired Oriental Bank and United Bank of India. Canara Bank acquired Syndicate Bank, Union Bank of India acquired Andhra Bank and Corporation Bank, and Indian Bank acquired Allahabad Bank. So they would reduce the number of PSBs. I'm just sticking to banking for now. They would reduce the number of PSBs, not just through sale of some PSBs, but also through further consolidation. So it'll be a mix of both. There'll be some more mergers among state-owned banks, plus the government may decide to sell some of these banks. That is a very high possibility. Some of these banks could be privatized. Indian Overseas Bank, UCO Bank, Bank of Maharashtra, and Punjab and Sindh Bank have been left out of previous round of mergers. There were 3 round of mergers earlier. They have been left out of. And it is said these 4 banks could be up for sale sometime in the future. There is no clarity on when, but they could be. Similarly, in insurance, there are 8 state-owned insurance companies: Life Insurance Corporation, General Insurance Corporation, National Insurance Corporation, New India Assurance, Oriental Insurance, United Insurance. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation and Agriculture Insurance Corporation. Through mergers or sales, these could be reduced to. So the aim of the strategic sector is that it will serve as a future sort of blueprint for privatization going ahead. The existing ones like Air India, Bharat Petroleum, and all that are still there. But this is very important because this will set the tone for what the government wants to do going ahead. Now, it has to be made clear right from the Prime Minister's office downwards. There is a clear intent on privatization. This government believes that there are a lot of companies where the government should exit or where the government should give up most of its stake and these companies to be privatized. That will get you the required investment, that will enable these companies to be run more efficiently, and that will basically lead to a situation where the taxpayer money is not being put into these companies. That is always there. But the fact is, these things take time. For example, in May, the finance minister spoke about the strategic sector policy. It is still not in cabinet because it went through nearly 50 government departments. The proposal went through nearly 50 government departments. And let's be very honest, each government department would want to hold on to its fiefdom, its own PSU. No ministry or department wants to let go of its PSU.
Right.
Because you know that gives it a lot of influence and power. That is a well-known open secret. And so it was a lot of to and fro, a lot of push and pull between various departments of the government. And now we are hearing what the DPOM secretary told us is that is expected to come in cabinet soon enough.
Right. That's really interesting. And it will be interesting to see how this all pans out. This week, we also spoke about another upcoming stimulus that could possibly come in November. Can you explain what that might be about?
Yeah. So, remember, the government has already done three rounds of measures. One was in March, immediately after the lockdown, the Garib Kalyan, Pradhan Mantri Garib Kalyan Yojana,
right,
where free food, grain and cash transfer were provided. Then there was the Atmanirbhar Bharat package over 5 days. Across sectors, things were announced across sectors for small businesses, for vendors, for rural economy, including the expansion of NAREGA. And there were a lot of announcements pertinent to each sector. Then after that, in October, earlier this month, there was the festival scheme and the LTC scheme. And the government also announced that it would increase its capital expenditure by 25,000 crore from 4.13 lakh crore. Now, we are hearing that there will be another round of stimulus, another set of announcements. The finance minister has said that she is open to further stimulus announcements. Another officials, including the principal economic advisor, Sanjeev Sanyal, and even the secretaries in the finance ministry have said that government is actively working on another round of stimulus measures. Now, what we are hearing is that infrastructure push will continue to be the main focus. The government is looking at identifying some 20 to 25 projects from the national infrastructure pipeline. There are hundreds of projects in that. From that, they will appoint 20 to 25, they will identify 20 to 25 big projects in which money can be pumped in immediately, which will have a short gestation and turnaround period, and which can be completed quickly. Number one, you pump in the money, and number two, because these can be turned around quickly, that will create a lot of jobs. We are hearing that the proposed airport in Greater Noida as well as Navi Mumbai, these are part of that list of projects, which will show you good returns and which will lead to like large-scale job creation and employment opportunities. Apart from that, the government is looking at specific sectors like hospitality and tourism and others, which then these sectors are the ones which have been the worst hit by the bank. Now, in an earlier interview with Money Control, the principal economic advisor Sanjeev Sanyal had made a very important point that the traditional ways of supporting sectors will not work here. The traditional way is give them some tax relief, indirect taxes, corporation taxes, or in GST. However, it's not that if the government reduces GST on these sectors, people will start flocking in, right? People are not flocking in because there is a high GST on these sectors. People are not flocking in because of the pandemic, right? So the government is brainstorming on this. There are a lot of discussions going on. They are considering how best to help these sectors. Apart from the traditional way of just cutting taxes or just giving tax reliefs. And there are also other schemes which are being planned, like expanding production-linked incentives to more sectors. The production linked incentives will obviously, you know, are enable companies to manufacture more of the products in India. There are some sectors which have production linked incentives. These are currently in place for electronics and medicines and pharmaceuticals. And these could be expanded to API, active pharmaceutical ingredients, textile units, food processing plants, solar plant makers, automobile component manufacturing, and others. Now, one important thing, there was a plan of an urban NAREGA, a job scheme on the lines of the Rural National Employment Guarantee Program. And that was, they were looking at implementing it in urban areas also, starting with the tier 3 and tier 4 cities, they create providing jobs, and you're giving them a daily stipend based on those jobs. It would have cost around 35,000 to 40,000 crore. This is what the estimates were. However, that discussion is now sort of on the back burner, because the thinking in the government is that when you are having this infrastructure push, which will anyways create jobs, so it would rather benefit the government than putting that money into those infrastructure projects instead of having a separate job creation scheme.
Right.
Or a job support scheme. So that is the thinking of the government. So this proposal of urban NAREGA, which gained a lot of traction in August, September, and early parts of October, that is now died down. In fact, the government is of the view that there is right now no need for this. And we can expect something, hopefully, within this.
Right. And like you explained, the hospitality sector has been, waiting for a long time because they were the most hit. And let's see what
hospitality
comes
and tourism.
Yeah.
Hospitality and tourism. Aviation is also there. We don't know what they're doing with aviation, and we don't have a sense of. But we're definitely hearing there'll be something on hospitality. And
thank you so much, Arup, for all these details.
Thank you so much, Kesana.
That is a wrap on this episode of Macro Minutes. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.